is pretty profound, that has been pretty profound for me, and maybe not for everybody, but it's been something that maybe in the last year or two, it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like a couple years ago, I'll give you an example, love thy neighbor. I was like, yeah, yeah, okay, all in youth group, I heard love thy neighbor, and then it was just like, oh, how many times have I heard love thy neighbor in the scriptures? And it was just like, it's such a simple thing, and it just starts popping out, because obviously I needed to learn that. So I want to talk to you about something super profound, something that you've probably never heard before, and something that I want us to work together, to work through together. I'm about to share with you something not new, but maybe new to you. It may be new, you know, for a long shot. In fact, this may be, this is going to be in many places in Scripture, and it will be crazy. Once you start to research it, you'll see it everywhere. I want to talk to you about who God is. Then we'll talk about who you are, and who I am. This is something I'm still working through, and I'm something I work through every day. It is something that I will probably work through my whole entire life, and probably you as well. So basically, so let's work through this together. What I'm about to share with you, okay, sorry, my bad. What I want to talk to you about who God is and then who you are. Basically, anyone who calls Jesus Lord of their life, and I mean, maybe this isn't going to be super profound, but if you accept Jesus into your heart, this is all about you. We're going to be dealing with situations that will be relative on an everyday basis. So let's pray. Dear God, we just pray that you just help me to be able to speak clearly and what you want to be said through me. Pray that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and that you just pray that you help us all to realize who you are and who we are through you. So the verse I'm going to talk to you about is Matthew 6:33. Where is it? Is it over here or there? Okay, there. So I titled it Beloved Identity. We're going to be going through Matthew 6:33. It basically says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. So we're going to do a little word study today on a few of these words. We're going to focus on one word, and then we're going to go in a little bit of detail. So we're going to, on a few of these words, we're going to go a bit back to the original text and what it means in Greek. So the definition in English might be a little bit different what the definition is in ancient Greek. I'll try to throw in the odd funny story or illustration to keep you guys awake, okay? So, and just clap your hands if I start to stutter or, you know, you need a funny story and I'll slip one in. So let's start with the word seek, okay? Everybody knows, and probably has played hide and go seek as a kid. Everyone knows what seek is, right? So to seek basically means to find. Now this may sound like an easy word, right? As I just said. But in the Greek, ancient Greek, the definition is so much more. The word Greek is Z-E-T-E-O. You can learn that on your own time. Which, it's a verb, which means it's an action. So there, it means to desire, to crave, to require, to need, to investigate, and come to a concrete resolution. Those are some pretty crazy words. It sounds like it's more of less of a suggestion and more of a command. It requires you to do something instead of just a thought. It's a calling. It's not to lollygag. Anyone know what lollygag is? Not to lollygag when it comes to seeking, but to seek what? Let's move on. Now, those are pretty intense words, Right? So let's remember those. Now the word first, so to seek ye first. First does not mean in order. Does not mean the first thing you do in your day. It's more of a priority. So what it means by that is we are to consider God in all our decisions and actions, and a lot of times we want to do things our way. We want to do things what we think is best. Instead, I want you to consider the fact that we should take into consideration God in all our decisions and actions. What would God do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Or what do you think God wants us to do in this situation? We have to trust God and let him guide our decisions. Because I guarantee you, when we allow God to guide us and lead us, things may become a little bit easier than if we try and do it our own, in our own strength, our own way. Kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the move of God. It's the Holy Spirit, the reign of God. God's will. We know that God is on the move, always working, and always on our behalf, knocking on the doors of our hearts and the people's hearts who have not yet realized that they need him. So that no one is lost. So what does that mean? It means that the kingdom of God is God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that everything that he is doing and his will. So what are we to seek first? Or most importantly, it's God. God's character. The number one thing that we should study and memorize is God. Without knowing all about God and his promises, we won't have a complete comprehension of who you are in Christ and who he is and what are his promises. So what are we to seek first? God. I don't mean in a religious way or in an obligation. It's like, oh, I guess I should get that out of the way. It's like, okay, I've done this, now I can move on. Now I can go riding or hunting or whatever you do. Now I can go through my day. Oh, I lost my spot. Sorry. Be patient with me. I brought fruit, so if it gets bad, you can start throwing fruit. It's plastic fruit. They'll hurt more. Okay. So not in a religious way or an obligation. So it's kind of like a child does with his father. There's a lot of times you see kids trying to like mimic what their dad does. Dress like him, do what he does, buy plastic tools, pretend they want to fix things, or whatever. Be more like the father, more like their papa, dressing like him, trying to mimic the same thing his dad does. I mean, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my father in heaven do. So if Jesus tries to mimic his father, maybe we should. Right? Most importantly, the definition means to find out who God is and what are his characteristics. I mean, by that, yes, we learn a lot about God through reading scripture and learning about his promises. But remember, the word seek is an action word. So we are called actually to spend time in God's presence, like going for walks, just you and God, giving him an opportunity and room to do what he does best. I guarantee you, when you start spending time with God intimately, things will turn. Your head knowledge, what you have learned about who God is, will start impacting your heart. It will start moving, and it will start reflecting your actions. Because once it gets into your heart, hard to get out. It will start changing what you do and how you do things. Now, going for walks is not just good for the midsection. I guarantee you start walking with people. You take time with a certain person, things are going to be, you're not going to just walk in silence. You're going to start talking about stuff. You're going to be like, so, no, you're going to start talking about things. It's going to become more and more intimate as you walk. The more you spend time, you're not going to just watch Jersey Shore and watch TV and pretend that Jesus is right here. No, you're going to spend time with. I don't even know what Jersey Shore is. That just came to my head. Sorry. I want to talk about trusting God becomes easier the more you spend time with him. I want to show you something in Genesis that you've probably read over. You've probably went, okay, yeah, I'm going to skip that and read it another time. That! Genesis 5. Genesis 5 is the writer goes through a lineage from Adam. So-and-so had this baby, and that baby had this baby. It's called a lineage. It says, so-and-so begot so-and-so. It's from Adam. The lineage is from Adam. I put this here so you don't focus because it's a dull read. But I just wanted to put all of that there. Now, I highlighted one section. All of these people in this says, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and then they died. Okay? And so-and-so begot so-and-so, and then they died. Except for one person he highlights. The only thing that we know about Enoch is that he lived a time, married, had some kids, but that highlighted spot. The highlighted part says that Enoch walked with God and then was no more. Walked with God and then God took him up. Nowhere else is that said about anyone else. I'm not saying that those people didn't know God or have a relationship with God. I'm not saying that. Not saying that Adam was a drunk or whatever. Okay, I'm not saying. All I'm saying is, why did God, the writer, highlight that part? The answer is that it's important that he spent time. It was a priority. And then lived. Lived in glory. Got excited there. People, have you ever spent a lot of time with somebody vulnerably and your relationship not grow? It's crazy. The more you spend time with people, the more your relationship grows. The more vulnerable you become, the more that relationship grows. So, spending time with God is not just reading the Word. Don't throw me out. It's not just reading the Word. It's being in intimate time with Him, doing your thing. You can go hunting and fishing and still spend quality time with God in His presence. You can be knitting, crocheting, crafting, pick by number. These are all things that I kind of like doing. Did I introduce myself? My name's Kevin Beskowine. I hail from the metropolis of Mournville. Yeah, you already talked about that. But this is not about who I am. I hope you don't leave this place and be like, oh, that Kevin was an amazing preacher. We should have him every week. No, I want you to know about this part, that God, Enoch walked with God. I want you to know about who you are. I don't care if you don't remember me. That's not the most important. I want you life to be changed. I want you to know application. I want you to go out to Smitty's afterwards and be like, man, that was so good. I'm going to research. That's what I want. Application. I want you to do stuff with what I'm teaching. If we seek Christ to be our Lord of our life and repent of our sins, we will never truly die. I mean, our body will, but our soul won't. We will be in glory. Okay, that may have been a bit of a goat trail, sorry. Let's move on. Mount Everest. Everyone know what Mount Everest is? It's a mountain. This isn't just another goat trail. This is something I actually wrote down. There we go. That's a pretty big mountain. You can read a lot of books about Mount Everest, watch a lot of movies about him, study photos, go to conferences to learn about every nook and cranny of the mountain. You can do all of that. And you may even think that you have a good understanding of what the mountain is. And you'll be able to may even appreciate it or have a respect for that. You may think, okay, now I know and I can go, I know it. And have never touched Mount Everest. You may think that. But it's not until you actually experience the mountain, touch it, spend time with it, on it, whatever, conquer it, only then will you have a true understanding or even respect and awe of the mountain. This example is exactly like spending time with God. You can read all the scripture you want. You can go all to the studies you want. You can go read books. You can talk to your pastor. But it's not until you've made that head knowledge, heart knowledge, will you truly give room for God to do things. And when you step out out of your comfort zone, step out in faith and trust that God is leading you, I guarantee that you will see God move either through you, through others, or even in a different situation. The more you step out in faith, the more you see God move. And the more you see God's promises in Scripture that you have read come to life, the more that head knowledge will turn into heart knowledge. Am I saying not read the Scriptures? Am I saying not to go to church or study? No. I think you should make that a spiritual discipline in your life. Reading Scripture is super important. By memorizing and studying and reading the Scriptures, you will learn God's characters and His promises. And it's not until you take that, what you have read, and put it into action. Start learning who God is and leaning on Him and giving Him room to see His actions. His actions in action. Then that head knowledge and heart knowledge will grow. And the more you'll step out, and the more you'll see, you'll allow God to move, the more you'll be like, okay, God. Like you'll say, God, give me an opportunity. Because you've stepped out. Then you'll see God move. Because that isn't just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. The more you give Him room, and the more you step out of the way, and let Him do His thing. Sorry. The more you'll see and trust that God's promises are true. The more you see God's promises true, there's something that comes in that. Trusting and seeing His promises come alive is peace. Trust. You have peace. Say, okay, God's got this. God's got my back. Because you're like, okay, I've seen it before. I'm going to give Him another opportunity. I'm going to take not just baby step, I'm going to take a bigger step. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to talk to that guy in Tim Hortons. Say, hey, Jesus loves you, or whatever. This is all easy stuff, right? Obviously. We've all done it before. Simple. Why am I even up here? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord and with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge and recognize him. So acknowledge him. Let's review quickly. How do we trust and rely on something confidently? Doing it often, constantly. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God do his thing. That doesn't mean literally get out of the way. That just means we need to just kind of like get out of our head. Stop being stubborn, being prideful. It's like, I can do this myself. Or saying, you know what? This is such a minute thing. I can do it. I'm going to do it. I'll give God a break. It's giving God priority in all situations and letting him do his thing. People, God's ways are way better than our ways. I think so. I mean, I can sit up here for a couple days and tell you examples of how I've done things really silly and it turned out really good. Not the truth. God, I would have just let God do his thing through me and trusted what he said I should have done. You know, things probably might have been in a different situation. You know what I mean? Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. The word fear is yirah. Yirah, Y-I-R-A-H. Which means a reverence, in awe of. You can't have a reverence or an awe of if you don't know who he is. That is impossible. How do you have an awe something if you don't know what it is? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom helps you make wiser decisions. Helps you see things clearer. Makes you maybe just stop and think for a second before making a decision. The next word we're going to look at is his righteousness. It's two words, but his righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what do you think this means? Well, it definitely means God's goodness. It definitely means to see the great things that he is doing and has done. The same Greek word when it comes to God's goodness and his actions is the same word that's in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, he made him who knew no sin. Who is that? That's Jesus. So God made him who knew no sin to be sin. So he died on the cross for our sins and became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if we are the righteousness of God, we are the good work of God. Because in Genesis 1, when God made creation, says he is good. But when God made Adam, he says he is really good. Just like we are the new Adam, we are the goodness and the righteousness of God. So if we are the righteousness of God through Christ, wouldn't that mean that when Christ died for us, we inherited a few things? Obviously, we inherited, if we accept Jesus into our heart, we inherited eternal life. Obviously. Scripture says that. However, if we take a look at another verse, you'll see we inherited a lot more. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Is it up there? There. Therefore, If you have been raised up in with Christ, keep seeking the things above. So seeking who and what God is, where Christ is at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. So focus on what God is doing and who God is, not on the things that are on earth. It is not important. It is important to trust God and seek who He is. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the part I want to read. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. There's a lot of stuff here to unpack in this verse, but it's the last sentence I want you to focus on. It basically says that when Christ died on the cross for our sins, it was revealed to the world that He is the Son of God. God. It was revealed to the world that He is God. At that moment, we as believers inherited some things. We received eternal life through Christ, which is amazing. We also inherited the title, we are sons of the King. We are sons of the King of Kings. Oh, by the way, I'm a little charismatic. So if I don't hear mm-hmms or amens, I'm going to just probably repeat myself a couple times. So if I don't hear a mm or an amen, come on. Amen. You are saved by grace. You are royalty. This is a goat trail. Here's the goat trail. There's this movie where there's a bunch of like nobody superheroes, and they don't want to be this superhero group, and they're being trained. And he says, okay, I want you to repeat after me. And he says, I believe in my powers. And everyone's like, I believe in my powers. And he's like, I believe in the powers of my whatever. And everyone's like, I believe in the powers of my whatever. I wasn't going to use that, but I think it's funny. So that is exactly how we should act. Because when we speak things out, your ear hears you speak. So you can say, I am royalty, but not believe it. The more you say it about who you are, the more you say the promises of God, the more you say the things that Scripture says of who you are in Christ, your ear hears it, the enemy hears it, and you will start believing it. The more you say it, if you need to write it on your mirror every day and say, I am beautiful, or I am royalty, or I am this, or I'm good at that, you got to do it. If you say, I'm a whatever on your car steering wheel, and you just say it out loud every day, you should do it. The more you say it, the more you'll believe it. So you people are royalty. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. So seek first who? God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is doing. What Jesus is doing in your life. What God is doing. And it says to seek out who you are through Christ. First off, let me tell you that you are beloved. Everybody say beloved. Beloved. Everybody say beloved. Beloved. Beloved means that you are truly loved. You are truly and deeply loved. There is not an order of who God loves more. You are on the top of God's list every day. And if that's something you need to say, God loves me the most, it's true. It is true. You're all on the same page. Everybody, okay, so what does that mean? It means, beloved means you are dearly loved. We are dearly and deeply loved, so that Matthew 6:25 to 33, the don't worry part, God's got my back. God's going to feed me. God give me clothes and food and this and that. Be anxious about nothing but in prayer. That means something. That is true. That he's got you. If you pray for a stick, he's not going to give you a snake. If you pray for a steak, he's not going to give you liver because you want steak. Okay? If you want carrots, he ain't going to give you Brussels sprouts because you don't like Brussels sprouts. I do, but. A good father gives good gifts. So if you are the top priority, he's going to give you good gifts. This is all easier said than done, right? We all have our doubts of who we are in Christ, who we are as a person, that I'm good at this, or I'm good at that, or I'm a good person, or this, or that, or I have my doubts of who I am, right? We all, that's why it's in so many places in Scripture. Why would God want us to know who we are in Christ? Isn't it good enough to know that that when we die, we get to have eternal life with him in Christ? That our sins are forgiven? I mean, those things are amazing, but there is an enemy. There's an enemy in this world bombarding you with lies of who you are. It's in music. It's in TV. It's in magazines. The enemy wants to destroy and destroy your confidence, destroy your identity. He wants you to doubt what God says about you. He wants to bring us down any way possible. The more we believe and trust and read and study Scripture, the battle will get easier. So, give you an example. Okay, let's just say somebody says, I don't know, you're a terrible mechanic. No, I'm not. I'm not a terrible mechanic. I'm just getting there. I'm going to be a good... Oh, you're a terrible fisherman. No, I'm not. I'm going to be a good fisherman. One day. I am loved. I am beautiful. I am this. Speak those things out, man. Like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you haven't a doubt about something in your life, start speaking it out. Whether you're 80 years old or you're 2 years old, there's not a junior Holy Spirit. There's not a junior Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. You are a child of God. And you're not too old or proud or cool or whatever to speak those truths about who you are. You are beautiful. You are handsome. I am cool. I am. I'm a cool guy, I think. So are you. You're cool people. So whatever the enemy says, rebuke it. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke that. I am this. I am that. Studying Scripture helps you know who you are. When you know who you are, when you know God's promises, the battle gets easier. Because when the battle comes and someone says, you are this, you can say, no, Scripture says I am this. Amen? No, I am this. So get out. I am cool. I am beautiful. Rebuke that lie. Rebuke the lies. A counterfeit bill detector is someone whose job is to find fake dollar bills. This is the only thing that I know about this job. He does not focus on the details of a fake dollar bill. He focuses on the true dollar bill. He focuses on every single detail of that dollar bill. So when I see that dollar bill, and I know every detail of that dollar bill, when that fake comes, no, This is a real dollar bill. Get my back pocket. Right? So, knowing Scripture, knowing what God says about who you are and who He is, the more you do that, head knowledge to heart knowledge, battles become easier. Surround yourself with good charactered people, so they got your back and they're all speaking life into you. Two more things. Okay? So, do you think Daniel, the prophet Daniel, so Daniel in Scripture was a prophet. He got thrown into a lion's den. Do you think Daniel was like, okay, God, I'm going in the lion's den. I'm going to hope that he doesn't eat me. No, I'm pretty sure Daniel was like, I got this. God's got my back. Whether I live or die, God's got my back. God has my back. So when he goes to the lion's den, the lions are like, he's like, no, in Jesus' name, hang out. You can go eat later, not eat, right? Or Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to be put into the furnace. Okay, God, it's a little hot, right? No, they trusted God. So whether the outcome was this or that, they trusted the Lord, that the outcome was good. God has your best interests in mind. It's crazy important to not just read the Bible. Okay, I've read the Bible. I'm good. I'm going to go do my thing now. Why do you think that there's 31 Proverbs in Scripture? There's generally 30 days in the year, but Proverbs has 31 verses, so you read one every day. This is what I suggest you do. If you read 5 verses a day, one psalm and one proverb, you read the whole thing in 1 year. I know that's a lot, but just saying. I just know that cool fact. The crazy important is not just to read the Bible, but it's to memorize it. Who God says about who you are in Christ. God's promises should be the first part of your day, the last part of your day, and added everywhere in between. The last part of this verse in Matthew 33 says, and all these things will be given to you. God's promises, if you trust on who God is and what God says about you, all these things, His promises as all His things, all these things. His promises. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will, what? Where is this? Sorry, all these things will be given to you. His promises. Let's stand. I have a prayer that we're going to read when it comes on the thing. It's inspired by a guy named Corey Russell. Corey Russell does prayer prophecy and has albums. So when it comes on the screen, I'll start and we'll pray it out loud. And then I'll pray. No?
No?
Awesome. That's too bad. It's like not at all coming?
No.
I will read it to you. But I want you to receive this. Yes. Oh, we forgot the little dog. Can you show the dog? Because I found this cool. Okay, so I'll just quickly here. I saw this photo because when we know who we are in Christ, we will be more prepared, because the dogs are prepared by themselves with the community, right?
And the second, oh, sorry, one more. The second one, the picture. Sorry. You don't have to do that one. Let's just move on, whatever. Just go to the prayer. The second one is just a cover. And so then the more you know about who God is, that one. When the storms come, oh, I even skipped the little thing too. That's okay. When the storm comes, if you, it might be get easier because you'll be protected. Sorry. Okay, let's go to the prayer. I got distracted. So, let's pray.
God, I was made
by you, and I was made for you. And I will only be made satisfied in you. Abba, I come to you now, and I open my heart. Help me to know fully that I belong to you and that I am yours. Remind me daily that you are well pleased with me and that you enjoy me. Give me confidence to know that I am fully and freely accepted by you. Abba, let all the shame wash away. Let all the lies fade away. My life is defined by what you say about me. And you say that I am your beloved. Wash over me right now with this revelation. What you say about me is all that matters. Holy Spirit, deliver me from shame and fear and help me learn on lean on who you are and forgive me for believing the lies. Help me to be a light wherever I go.
Lord, just pray that you help us to be able to apply what was said. We pray that you just help us to learn about who we are in Christ and who you are. Pray you bless this congregation. Thank you for being great and good in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, yeah, you may be seated. Yes.
Thank you. bread and the juice are a symbolic meal of his presence, not his absence. Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his present-day reign, has changed everything in our lives. In this time period, if you were hungry, you could always find two things in the cupboard. You could find bread and juice or wine. And so if you were hungry and there was nothing else to eat, this was the staple in their home every day. Jesus is our spiritual staple. He is the one that feeds and nourishes us from the time we wake up in the morning to the time when we go to sleep. It's his life, his death, his resurrection, who has given each of us life. And so we celebrate that in every way possible. So what I'm going to do is get you to come now on this side and on this side to come and take the bread and the juice. You can hang on to it, and then we'll take it together. God, we're just so thankful for what you've done in our lives. yesterday. God, that you have taken all that, and that we can start anew and afresh with you today. Thank you for your broken body. Amen. In the same way, he takes the cup, the new covenant, and says, this is the blood which is for you. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death. And we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that's made everything new as white as snow. Thank you for your love that ever moves toward us, that you're for us and you're not against us. And like heaven said, you call us beloved. Amen. We're now going to take a benevolent offering, our communion offering. It happens once a month, and in that month, we do this benevolent offering for all those who have needs, and so we'll have the ushers come and do that now.
Let's stand and sing this last song.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved. us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Have a great week, everyone.